In late January, I was in South Texas at a retreat for UU ministers. The day I arrived at the retreat center, I knew that the woman checking in at the reception desk in front of me was with my group, because I saw on her shirt a logo of a heart on fire and the phrase popular in UU circles these days, love the hell out of the world. So this phrase is related in particular to our Universalist history. Last week I talked about Unitarianism, and this week I'll talk about Universalism. Universalists were Christians who believed in universal salvation. In other words, they refused to accept the dominant belief of their time that God would damn some people to eternal punishment. They believed that God was too good to send people to hell. They often gathered not in churches, but at tent meetings in rural areas, and they would post on their tents big banners with the phrase, God is love. This was shocking for the time, when God was seen as a wrathful, angry God. It was Calvinism, if you've heard of that. Universalists were dismissed from juries because people thought you couldn't possibly judge morality if you believed in forgiveness instead of hell. A story is told about a conversation between a man and Hosea Ballou, a prominent Universalist. The man said, "Brother Ballou, if I were a Universalist and feared not the fires of hell, I could hit you over the head, steal your horse and saddle and ride away, and I'd still go to heaven." Ballou looked over at him and said, "If you were a Universalist, the idea would never occur to you." So Universalists argued that fear of an angry God is not necessary for morality. In fact, concern for morality played a big role in their belief in universal salvation. See, here's the context they lived in. The strong communal nature of Puritanism was waning. The foundations of communal life were crumbling. The individual was becoming the building block of society. This is a trajectory that has continued, of course. Hear this historian's words and consider whether the words also apply to our own time. The loss of community was caused by the shattering of religious consensus, the increasing complexity of economic relationships, influence of the market, population growth, migration. In this context, Universalists saw a growing emphasis on personal salvation, a narrow view that excluded genuine concern for one's neighbors. Universalists believed that faith had deteriorated and become contracted and selfish. So, for Universalists, conversion, religious conversion, was not about a private experience of God, but an understanding of salvation as social and communal. There were many women Universalists, and Lucy Barnes was one of them. She published The Female Christian in 1809, and explained the Universalist conversion experience. When Universalists accept that all people are brethren to be loved, they have passed from death unto life. That is conversion. So this message of universal love for all people led many Universalists to become early advocates for many social justice issues, including abolition of slavery, women's rights, and prison reform. Sojourner Truth's "Ain't I a Woman" speech was given at a women's rights convention held at a Universalist church. Clara Barton, the first president of the American Red Cross, was a Universalist. The Universalists were the first to ordain women, and by 1900, that early, had twice as many women ministers as the Unitarians. So by the early 1900s, Universalists were then arguing that hell, the hell we must concern ourselves with, is not related to the afterlife, but the hell that we humans create here on earth. Hell comes in the form of unjust social and economic conditions. But they were optimistic about our ability to solve these social problems with the help of religion. Universalist Clarence Skinner said, "Every social problem involves a spiritual content. It is the task of religion to furnish those life values and liberate those social impulses which will energize man and incite him to social progress." So our call today to stand on the side of love is a natural extension of this universalist message to love the hell out of the world. This is the call to go where hell is, like the prayer that I prayed earlier, deliver us to evil, and love it out of those places. So what is that hell? Dostoevsky said that hell is the suffering of being unable to love. I'd argue when we are unable to love, it is usually because we have been hurt. And that pain, whether we are aware of it or not, has left us afraid, or numb, or angry, or addicted, or closed-minded. And most of that pain in our lives comes from division, from seeing ourselves as separate from one another, rich, poor, liberal, conservative, black, white, Hispanic, educated, uneducated, male, female, Israeli, Palestinian, Catholic, Muslim, atheist, normal, strange. You know, being human in this world is hard enough without these divisions. We experience small and large losses in our lives. Loved ones die, illnesses come, relationships challenge us. Those walls between us make it even harder to do the important work of carrying each other through the beautiful but difficult journey of life. That poet I read this morning said, "Out of a great need, we are all holding hands and climbing. Not loving is a letting go." So we move out of our comfort zones to hold one another's hands and hang on. Because loving the hell out of this world isn't easy. It requires a tenacious promise to hang in there, even when we have strong disagreements with one another. To not give up on each other, even when we seem so different and so divided. Some people in our world are preaching division and fear. So can we have the courage to stand for a faith that celebrates difference? A faith that preaches love in the face of hate? A faith that holds out hope even for those we might understandably despise? Last year, I heard a story about this, about loving the hell out of the world. It was a story about someone who encountered hate and hung in there, bringing love. This story happened on Twitter. As you probably know, Twitter is one of those social media platforms where people send their thoughts out to the world in 140 characters or less. This was a conversation that happened on Twitter on Martin Luther King Day between two people, an African-American mother named Ijeoma Oluo and someone else who had clearly set up a fake profile. His profile name had obscenities in it, so I won't say it, but in a moment, when I and my volunteer read you this exchange, it'll be clear that what this person was doing, this guy who had the fake profile, was trolling. Have you heard of trolling? Trolling on social media involves people writing hateful, provocative posts in order to rile people up and hide behind anonymity. The common advice given is, don't feed the trolls. The idea being that you're not going to change them, so just don't engage with them because it just fanned the flames. But on this day, the woman, Ijeoma, decided to engage this troll. So I've asked Ethan, my husband, to help me tell the story by reading this person's words. I've removed some of the obscenities he uses. I will say he does use the N-word many times, I've included a few of those times, so apologies for its use. And I'll be reading the woman Ijeoma's words.
Some of this stuff is not is not good. Is this on? Yeah. In honor of MLK Day today, I'm taking a vow to use the word nigger as many times as possible and in the most appropriate times.
Let no man pull you so low as to hate him. Martin Luther King Jr.
Oh, so you're one of those nigger lovers too.
Hate destroys the hater. Martin Luther King Jr.
Your parents must have named you by putting every letter in a hat and randomly selecting six letters.
I believe that unarmed truth and unconditional love will have the final word in reality. Martin Luther King Jr.
Wow, you are some divine nigger prophet, and I believe you are a stupid nigger.
We must either learn to live together as brothers, or we are going to die together as fools. Martin Luther King Jr.
Here he wrote some racist obscenities that should not be repeated.
Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Martin Luther King Jr.
Here he wrote more racist obscenities that should not be repeated.
Carve a tunnel of hope through a dark mountain of disappointment. Martin Luther King Jr.
Quote, I hope I get shot soon, Martin Luther King Jr.
I wish you peace and love and freedom from the hatred that hurts your heart.
Who's that quote from?
That's me, sending love and hope to you.
Yeah, I have plenty of that.
Not enough love to displace the hate in your heart.
No, I'm just trolling. This isn't an account to be taken seriously. You were saying all this serious stuff, and I wasn't complying.
It seems sad that you would troll a movement so many died for. I hope you can find hobbies that are less hurtful of other people.
I choose to care about people that say, fight for our country, not people that just father welfare and burn American flags.
I hope that one day the lives of black people will matter to you. Your life matters to me.
Everyone's lives matter. I just choose not to promote it. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. LOL.
When you mock the civil rights movement, you mock every dead child. You mock every burned home. You mock every lynched father.
Look, honey. I'm 14 years old. You need to chill.
My son is 13 years old, and he would never mock your murder.
Well, good for him. He must have a really cool mom.
He does. Does your mom know that you spend your time on the internet trying to hurt people?
I doubt it. She's been dead for a year and a half now.
I'm sorry for your loss. And I hope you find a better way to honor her.
My counselor said to make a secret Twitter profile to let out all my weird, horrible feelings. So
it doesn't seem to be helping.
Yeah, you're probably right. But it keeps me from going back into depression and taking so many pills I can't count.
There are ways to get those dark feelings out without hurting others. Remember, there's a good chance that someone coming across your hateful tweets is suffering from depression, too.
Yeah, I just haven't figured it out yet.
You could even journal these things instead of sending them out into the world to hurt people.
Writing isn't my strong suit. Ha ha ha.
It's just like tweeting, I promise.
Easy for you to say. Ha ha ha.
Well, I do wish you luck, and I hope you will try to refrain from hurting others while you try to heal.
You're so nice, and I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Today is about forgiveness. People do bad things when they are hurting. Send me a message if you need to talk. I'll post a link to that conversation on my blog later next week, and you can look it up if you want to see it. So many people witnessed this interaction on Twitter and applauded Ijeoma for her patient and loving approach. Ijeoma responded, "You guys, I'm a mom. You think I'm going to let some 14-year-old outlast me?" She said, "I've got love for days. I've got love for days." What she did was seemingly small, but I'd argue a good example of loving the hell out of this world. Of, as we say, give them not hell but hope. Today, we Unitarian Universalists don't typically consider ourselves evangelists. But many of our Universalist ancestors were fierce evangelists. And the truth is, we have a life-saving message to share. Ours is the message that all are deeply loved, no matter how different they feel, no matter the pain they have endured, no matter the pain they have caused. Love is always available to us. Love is more powerful than we can imagine. Love tells us we all belong. Let us share that message with ourselves, with each other, with the world. Let us do that work of loving the hell out of the world. May it be so. Amen.